Krishna's palaces. Text number 41. What? Shishukruvacha.
Shishukruvacha.
Ityacharantam sadharman.
Ityacharantam sadharman.
Pavanam grihamedinam.
Pavanam grihamedinam.
Tam eva sarvageheshu.
Tam eva sarvageheshu.
Santamekam dadarshaha.
Santamekam dadarshaha.
Shri Shukruvacha.
Shri Shukruvacha.
Ityacharantam sadharman.
Ityacharantam sadharman.
Pavanam grihamedinam.
Pavanam grihamedinam.
Tam eva sarvageheshu.
Tam eva sarvageheshu.
Santam ekam dadarshaha.
Santam ekam dadarshaha.
Shri Shukruvacha.
Shri Shukruvacha.
Ityacharantam sadharman.
Ityacharantam sadharman.
Pavanam grihamedinam.
Pavanam grihamedinam.
Tam eva sarvageheshu.
Tam eva sarvageheshu.
Santam ekam dadarshaha.
Santam ekam dadarshaha.
Shukruvacha.
Shukruvacha.
Sukadeva Goswami said.
Sukadeva Goswami said.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Acharantam.
Acharantam.
Performing.
Performing.
Sat.
Sat.
Spiritual.
Spiritual.
Dharman.
Dharman.
The principles of religion.
Principles of religion.
Excuse me. Pavanam.
Pavanam.
Purifying.
Purifying.
Grihamedinam.
Grihamedinam.
For householders.
Householders.
Tam.
Tam.
Him.
Eva.
Eva.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Sarva.
Sarva.
In all.
In all.
Geheshu.
Geheshu.
The palaces.
Palaces.
Santam.
Santam.
Present.
Present.
Ekam.
Ekam.
In one form.
In one form.
Dadarshaha.
Dadarshaha.
He saw.
He saw.
Sukadeva Goswami said, thus, in every palace, Narada saw the Lord in his same personal form, executing the transcendental principles of religion that purify those engaged in household affairs. Translation responsibly. Sukadeva Goswami said.
Sukadeva Goswami said.
Thus.
Thus.
In every palace.
In every palace.
Narada saw the Lord.
Narada saw the Lord.
In his same personal form.
In his same personal form.
Executing.
Executing.
The transcendental principles.
The transcendental principles.
Of religion.
Of religion.
That purify.
That purify.
Those engaged.
Those engaged.
In household affairs.
In household affairs.
Purport. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami repeats what the Lord has himself explained. As Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was engaged in his so-called household affairs in order to teach people how one can sanctify one's household life, although he may be attached to the imprisonment of material existence. Actually, one is obliged to continue the term of material existence because of household life. But the Lord, being very kind upon householders, demonstrated the path of sanctifying ordinary household life. Because Krishna is the centre of all activities, a Krishna-conscious householder's life is transcendental to Vedic injunctions and is automatically sanctified. As stated in text 2 of this chapter, all the Lord's activities in the many palaces were performed by the Lord's single spiritual form, Ekena Vapusha, which manifested in many places at once. This vision was revealed to Narada because of his desire to see it and the Lord's desire to show it to him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the other residents of Dwarka could see Krishna only in the particular part of the city they themselves occupied and not anywhere else, even if they would sometimes go to another precinct on some business. Thus the Lord gave a special view of his pastimes to his beloved devotee Narada Muni. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Tadatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Vanghayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. So we have some interesting words here. The first is Maitreya Prabhupada says that every word of the Bhagavad Gita is interesting. Of course, some have more relevance than others. Acharantam, performing. Sadharmam, the principles of religion. But the principles of religion, dharma, there are many principles of religion, dharma. So not just any old dharma, though here, sat dharma, which means translated as spiritual principles of religion. And in particular, because the Lord is demonstrating his pastimes as a householder, then pavanan griha medinam, the principles of religion which are purifying for the householders. Pavanan means purifying. We have the word pavitra, which means pure. Pavanan griha medinam, which griha medi means for those whose focus of life is their house, their household. And of course these were shown to Narada Muni, Sava Geheshu, which means basically to all of the houses that the Lord lived in. He demonstrated these. Santame kam dadasaha. He saw the Lord in one form, but manifest all over, even doing different things actually, but still the same personality. Quite amazing. So, acharantam, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, yad yad acharati sreshtas. You know, whatever standards a great man sets, tad tat evitaro janaha, then the common people follow. Right? And especially that was the duty of the kshatriyas. And so Krishna's is manifesting his pastimes as a king, and so therefore he's demonstrating very perfectly, very clearly, what are the duties for the householders. Especially those duties that will bring about purification, because basically the Vedas, dharma if you like, the rules and regulations, deal with two things, attachment and detachment. The grihamedi is one who's generally attached. That's what married life is for, really, for those who are a little bit attached to material enjoyment, material pleasure, material facility, if you like. And in fact, it's mentioned here in the quotation from Prabhupada. One is obliged to continue the term of material existence because of household life. One is obliged to continue the term of material existence because of household life. So, Krishna recommends household life, actually, but not to continue one's material existence, but rather he's demonstrating an example of how to conduct or arrange one's material affairs so that instead of becoming entangled, one becomes liberated. So therefore it deals with attachment and detachment. And the Varnashram system and there are different dharmas, if you like, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the ninth chapter, in the passing away of Bhishma Dev. Maharaj Yudhisthira actually inquired from Bhishma Dev, you know, what are the principles of dharma? What is dharma? And he explained, dharma really initially means the conception of Varnashram dharma. So there's different levels of dharma or religiosity, if you like. And it's meant for civilized persons. Varnashram dharma is meant for civilized persons, and we can see, basically speaking, that we're not living in a civilization. That's why the Bhagavatam describes people who live according to no rules and regulations, like hogs, dogs, camels and asses. Because basically, if you analyse their behaviour, even though there's some polish, some sheen of sophistication or whatever, actually the focus and the behaviour is not very much unlike that of the animals. You know, eating, sleeping. You know, we do that. And basically the animals do that as well. Having sex. And fighting. Yeah. Defense. Huh? So, you know, the human beings do it, but what makes the human beings any better than the animals? Because that's just what the animals are doing. The human beings are meant to perform these activities in a more sophisticated or in a more controlled fashion, actually. But unfortunately, you know, they're not able to do it in a controlled fashion. And so therefore that it said, the Bhagavatam describes the humans like animals. But if you, and that might appear to be a little harsh, you know, calling human beings like dogs. But you know, you see they're behaving like dogs. Go to the Melbourne Cup. For example, a few years ago, there was a couple, you know, so intoxicated they're just having sex openly in the middle of the, you know, the field. We've got people all standing around watching them. So, you know, where the Bhagavatam describes them as behaving like, that's what dogs do. A dog just walks down the street, and when he sees a tree, you know, lifts his leg. Human beings are not meant to behave like that, but you see the human beings behaving like that. So we judge a thing by its qualities. So the Bhagavatam has been quite open and honest when it describes the human beings who behave like animals as animals. That's just realistic. But the Varnashram system is meant to, and in one sense the animals are uncontrolled. Or if they're controlled at all, they're controlled very much by the laws of nature. Well, very controlled by the laws of nature. Not much independence. But in a human form of life, we get independence not so that we can just be uncontrolled, but rather so that we can discipline ourselves and detach ourselves. And that's what the Varnashram system is for. Actually, the Varnashram system is designed basically for us to finish material life. That's what it's for. We want to finish. The human form of life is actually meant for finishing material existence. That's our business in the human form of life. Not to, and so that's the differentiation between the human beings and the animals. Is that we have the opportunity in the human form of life to pursue a spiritual, actually it's even, it's mentioned, for the human beings, for a certain section, they're meant to engage the animals so that they and the animals also get spiritual perfection. That's the Vaishyas, for example. The Kshatriyas are meant to look after the other human beings and order life in such a way so that they focus on the right things. Doesn't mean that they shouldn't have their sense gratification or sensual engagement. That's encouraged, but it's done according to rules and regulations. That's the Kshatriya's business. The Kshatriya's business is to oversee the behaviour of the human beings so they're not behaving like animals. Kshatriya's meant to be very generous. He can tax, Prabhupada mentions in these purports, in this chapter, especially these two, 1, 9, 26 and 27. Kshatriya's business is to tax, but he doesn't tax people. And it's interesting, you know, people are complaining, oh, 30% tax, too high. But actually, according to the Puranas and the Manu Samhita and the other scriptures that describe these things, the king is allowed to take 25% of the produce of the citizens. 25%. Of course, he's not meant to hoard it all for himself and then, you know, just enjoy the sense gratification that comes from taking all of the... You know, like there are some countries in Africa where, the president has got, you know, Swiss bank accounts just full with billions of dollars. And the citizens are all poor and undernourished and, you know, the economy is shredded. It's not meant to be like that. Kshatriya is actually meant to be generous, charitable. He himself is not meant to take charity. In other words, the gifts or the taking of the tax and the giving of the tax is not for him, but it's meant for the education, for the nourishment, for the development of the infrastructure for the benefit of the citizens. So that's why the king is meant to be. Is like it was described as like the father of all of the citizens, and naturally the father will have concern for the welfare of the children. Right, that's the dharma, if you like, of being a parent, is to be concerned about the welfare of your children. Because you know we have the anomaly in this day and age, terrible situation where. You know, we just had the news in this last week of the 2-year-old child's body found in a suitcase floating in the pond. And it turns out, well, it's alleged anyway, and it appears to be the fact that the mother shook the child to death. Huh? Now, generally that's not the dharma of a mother. If you think of it, you know, the mother, dharma means the intrinsic quality. Actually, Prabhupada explains, dharma means the intrinsic quality of something. So just like we know, salt water is salty. So it's wet, it's liquid, and when you taste it, it's salty. So we know that's these are the inherent qualities of something. Or sugar. You know, if we taste sugar and it's salty, then this is not sugar, this is salt. So we can tell by the intrinsic quality. But of course, in this day and age, everything's so upside down, or, shall we say, perverted. In the Kali Yuga, things are so perverted so that we see the women are killing their children. That's, you know, this is how bad, this is Kali Yuga, actually. One of the reasons why the Varnashram system is difficult to establish because everything's totally upside down. But still it's recommended actually. So, according to the intrinsic quality that a person inherits according to the modes of material nature, then they're recommended to behave and act in a particular way because that's natural to them. Although it's also natural in one sense to be uncontrolled, with the senses of the mind uncontrolled, then it's natural to behave like an animal. It's not unnatural, in one sense you could say. You know, if it feels good, do it. That's a philosophy. But it's not recommended in the Shastras, of course. And that's why the Varnashram system is there, is to identify the nature of a person and then train them accordingly so that they can be engaged according to their intrinsic quality, as according to the modes of nature that they've acquired. That's one intrinsic. Actually, the intrinsic quality of all of us is as a servant. This is the if you were to look at the Prabhupada explains, you know, our dharma, if you like, is to always be a servant. That's our natural quality. And of course, that service is manifest in many, many different ways. But ultimately, that nature of being a servant should be manifest in our service to Krishna. That's what it should be. If you look at everybody, there's one thing we have all have in common, and that is we're all servants. The only problem is at the moment we're serving our mind and senses most of the time. The tongue. I'm hungry. Go and get some milk sweets. Go and get the fruit offering quick before everybody else gets it. Right? Or whatever. So many different conceptions. Therefore, and so that's the pushing, if you like, towards the animal kind of behaviour, uncontrolled and just, you know, animalistic, basically. I don't know if you ever had a dog and you got something to eat. If you tease the dog, you know, just the dog smells it and all of a sudden his saliva, he starts salivating. They did that with Pavlov, you know, you've heard of the story of Pavlov's dog. When it was dinner time, they used to bring the meal out, but at the same time they'd ring the bell. And a dog would start salivating. So eventually what they could do is they could just ring the bell and a dog would start salivating. Conditioning. That's basically conditioning. But then he's out of control. When there's something to eat, then he's out of control. Or certainly with sex, especially with dogs, they're a perfect example of out of control. When the bitch is on heat, the male dogs just get out of control. They'll jump big fences and they'll do all sorts of things just to get to the bitch. So, human beings shouldn't be like that. Although sometimes they are. So, the human beings are meant to be engaged in... Now, but the thing is, we have those lower propensities. That's intrinsic in our nature according to the conditioning that we have. But, especially for the devotees, we have an inclination towards a higher spiritual principle. Right? So in one sense, we've got this battle going on. We've got the lower self. Right? And then we've got this other fellow who wants to, Krishna, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I'm your servant. Right? So what do we do? What do we do with Fido? We want to put him in a kettle. Tie him up. So how do we do that? It's done best by the principles or the system of Varnashram. That's what it's for. So that the basic, you know, the animalistic propensities can be utilised and engaged, but in an ordered and a structured form. So that there's as little disturbance as possible. And so that's what Krishna's demonstrating here in his example in Dwarka, especially of the king, religious king. And it's interesting, Bhishma Dev advised 9 qualifications for human beings. First one, not to become angry. This is for everybody. Not to tell lies, to be truthful. To equally distribute wealth. Be generous to everybody. This is dana dharma. There's rules for giving in charity. And it's interesting because the householder, even though he has dominion over a certain amount of wealth, actually, because of his training as a brahmachari, this is the ideal situation, he understands, actually, Prabhupada mentions, everything comes from Krishna. The energy comes from Krishna. And so, you know, when we do the jagya, sometimes at the end of the oblations, they chant, idam Krishna, idam namama. This idam Krishnaya, this is for Krishna. Idam namama is not for me. Recognizing that all of our energy comes from the source of energy, which is Krishna. And so therefore it's recommended that one should use that energy which comes from Krishna and give it back to Krishna. And if you do that, then it's purified. If you take the energy and just use it for yourself, then what happens? You get in big strife, usually. You get reactions. Isavasyam idam savam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena chak tena bunjita margida kasya sviddhanam. We should accept things for ourselves as our quota. We can do that, but we should remember who it all belongs to. If you can act in that fashion, it mentions in the Isha Upanishad, you can go on living for hundreds of years because you won't get any reactions. So the householders are recommended to give in charity. They give in charity, and 50% it's recommended. Should be prepared to give 50%, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Because in brahmachari life they've been taught that everything belongs to Krishna. So they know that right from the word go. The brahmachari. So you know, it's interesting how the Varnashram system, if it's implemented, of course, at the moment it's deteriorated, so putting it all back together is a little difficult. But when it's implemented, it's designed in such a way so that it focuses on attachment and detachment. Right? And especially for the brahmacharis, in the beginning of life, one is encouraged to perform austerities and tapasya, and especially to study the shastra. This is the dharma, if you like, for the brahmacharis. So that when one comes to the, and we see that, you know, Krishna, he demonstrated that when he went to Mathura, then he went to the Gurukul and studied under the auspices of Sandipani Muni to set the example. And then when he became a householder, then he also followed those guys. And that's what Narada Muni is seeing here. Only, of course, Narada Muni is seeing the wonderful manifestation of Krishna's demonstration of these principles by seeing him in, you know, 16,108 palaces, or the same Krishna, doing all these different things. And as it's mentioned here by the acharyas, that was only visible for Narada Muni. The other residents of Dwarka, when they travelled around Dwarka in the different precincts from where they lived, they didn't actually see the other Krishnas. They only got to see the one Krishna who lived with them. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? How's that possible? I don't know. Krishna's achintya shakti, inconceivable potency. So he would be giving in charity to the brahmanas, so equally distribute wealth. Four, to forgive, quality of the human beings, to forgive. Prabhupada mentions in the next purport, he mentions, or I'm not sure if it's this one, he mentions that forgiveness is the cure for anger, if you can forgive others. There's always going to be somebody who does something to you, believe me. 5. To beget children only by one's legitimate wife. Again, as a brahmachari once taught to be self-sense controlled. And, you know, a lot of yoga practice revolves around these two things, actually. Mental and sensual control. So especially for the householders, they're meant to be sense controlled. Even within marriage. That's a hard... It's not easy to do that. That's why Prabhupada considered the householders as good as the sannyasis. Because sannyasis is more renounced, householder lives in a more, in a situation where there's more opportunity for sense gratification, but has to control the senses also. That's Krishna's example. Not the griha medinam. Griha medinam means senses uncontrolled and just attached to enjoyment. So this is one principle. To beget children only by one's legitimate wife. 6. To be pure in mind and hygienic in body. So, you know, Krishna would rise early in the morning, take a bath, do his puja and so, well, we're trying to meditate on Krishna. When Krishna got up in the morning, he would meditate on himself. We're not recommended to get up in the morning and meditate on ourselves. Although some yogis do that. They think that's the process. Following in Krishna's footsteps. They just got it slightly wrong. Got the principles slow. Principles right, application's wrong. We're meant to get up in the morning and meditate on Krishna, like Krishna does. And of course, if you rise early in the morning, take a bath, and then perform your meditation, then that also helps your physical well-being for the rest of the day. Very interesting. Rise early, be regulated in that manner, then your health will be good. 7. Not to be inimical toward anyone. In other words, don't see others as your enemy. Even if they're behaving like an enemy, understand that that's your karma. Basically, that person is acting as an instrument of your karma, and you're getting what you deserve. Right? Not to be inimical to anyone. 8. To be simple. These are basic principles for all human beings, whether they're Vaishyas, Sudras, or whatever. Kshatriyas, Brahmanas. To be simple. Arajavam is described. Actually, it's a qualification that's described for the Brahmanas especially. Right? Chantir Arajavam eva cha. Chantir means to be forbearing, to be tolerant. And Arajavam means to live simply. But good for everybody. Basically, it's a principle that's good for everybody. And 9, to support servants or subordinates. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. And then there are descriptions. For the intelligent men, for the brahmanas, they're meant to act in a particular way. Live a simple life and cultivate an understanding of the scriptures and to be detached. Because they're supposed to be learned. Right? And a learned person knows Nasato Vijate Bhavo Na Bhavo Vijate Sataha Ubayor Apiyanta Ubayor Krishnantas Twanayas Tapadasha Dashibi. Those who have seen the truth know that the material world is, asat, temporary. So no point in getting attached to it. You'll have it for a little bit of time, but then eventually, it'll be taken away. And we have no choice about that. And then Kshatriyas, different. The Kshatriyas are meant to rule. They're a little more attached. They have that opportunity to exercise their attachment to controlling, and they have the expertise to do it. But they do so under the auspices of the Brahmanas. The Prabhupada very heavily criticises the democratic spirit. You know, you vote, and simply by acquiring votes, then you become the leader. Huh? But, you know, as is what happens in this day and age, and especially in the democracies, so-called free society, those with a lot of money spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on advertising campaigns just to manipulate the minds of the people. We're here to serve you. We're going to look after you the best. We'll give you the most sense gratification. We'll arrange society in such a way so that nobody will have any trouble. Ha ha. And then, you know, when they put in power, what happens? Crank up the taxes. Don't spend any money on education or medicine, etc. Well, as I mentioned before, the king is meant to be such a religious and such a saintly person, actually, under the direction of the Brahmanas, that people don't mind giving quarter of their wealth to the king. Because they know that he's not keeping it for himself, he then distributes it liberally. So as I mentioned, the king is meant to look after the citizens, then the vaishyas are meant to look after the animals, and their business then is to grow food, basically, to produce food, to feed everybody. That's their business. The vaishyas' business is to feed everyone. And as Prabhupada points out, you know, nuts and bolts, you know, you can't eat microchips. Although we're encouraged, yes, you have to have the latest. To be happy, you have to have an iPod. DVD player, the latest computer, the newest car, then you'll be happy. The newest washing machine. Forget about the fact we haven't got any water. That's just another bad, minor inconvenience. You've got the latest washing machine. And then the sudras basically meant to, as the Prabhupada says in the purport, sudras have no independence. People wouldn't like that. Actually, the way that they keep the sudras engaged is, you know, football in winter time and cricket in summer. So they keep them engaged. And then, you know, you give them as much alcohol and cigarettes and all of these things that they can consume and they're happy. Basically. And toys. You know, here's your iPod. Now you can be happy. We've got a new model car coming out next year. And you can be happy with these things. Oh, great. Now we can be happy. Of course, nobody's happy. And basically, the devotees know that. You know, pursuing material wealth, you know, there may be some happiness in that, some pleasure derived from, you know, interaction of the mind and the senses and so forth. But ultimately, it is very shallow. And that's why the Krishna's demonstrating this principle of a self-controlled and disciplined lifestyle. Because a greater degree of happiness comes from the pursuit and the understanding and the realization of one's spiritual identity. That's where real happiness and satisfaction comes from. Actually, our original position is ananda. That's our originally satchidananda. We're full of knowledge, we're eternal, and we're blissful. That's our original position. At the moment, the material covering has got us covered over with ignorance and misery. And that's why Krishna's demonstrating this example of sense control, self-control, mental control, sensual control through the Manashram system. So that through that we can realize our true spiritual identity. You know, the finish of material existence. That's really what it's for. Ultimately, there's no satisfaction from the pursuit of material pleasures, although we like to think there is. But if we analyse things carefully, whereas the satisfaction that anybody can get by the engagement in devotional activities. So it's interesting, especially for the householders. It's interesting, at the end of this purport, Prabhupada mentions the simple process, very simple process that Prabhupada recommends here. There's there's a stri dharma, right? There's the vanashram, and then stri dharma means there's also a dharma for women. Another category. Moksha dharma. Dana dharma. There's different dharmas here that are described by Bhishmadeva. Dana dharma, Raja dharma, that's the dharma for the kings that's been demonstrated by Krishna. Moksha dharma, Stri dharma. Then the last thing, Bhagavat dharma. The activities of the living entity to please Krishna. That's the most important dharma of all. And of course, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharma paricharya, just throw away all the dharmas and work for me. That's the highest dharma. And Bhanu Maharaj has been explaining, you know, the different dharmas. And one, they're superseded. The highest being Bhagavat dharma. That's the highest principle, pleasing Krishna. So, you know, you might see, you know, Krishna tells Maharaj Yudhisthira, I want you to tell everybody that Ashwatthama's dead. Right? That's for pleasing, you know, that's for Krishna's plan, for pleasing. But Yudhisthira did, hang on a second, we're not supposed to tell lies. Not supposed to tell lies. So actually, you know, telling the truth and pleasing Krishna, of the two, pleasing Krishna was more important in that case. Although ordinarily we're recommended not to tell lies. Otherwise, you know, you can get carried away with things. But it's interesting, I'll read this last paragraph in the purport. The last item taught by Bhishmadeva was the process of pleasing the Lord. That's Bhagavat Dharma. We are all eternal servants of the Lord, and when we forget this essential part of our nature, we are put into material conditions of life. So this is what we're trying to remember, that we were servant of Krishna. The simple process of pleasing the Lord, for the householders especially, is to install the deity of the Lord at home. So worship the deity at home, right? Not in an extravagant and elaborate way, but in a very in a way that's suitable to our means. By concentrating on the deity, one may progressively go on with the daily routine work, just like around the temple. Our focus is on Krishna and the deity. In fact, Prabhupada said, you know, the temples are meant to be the exemplar for the householders. So that everything revolves around the deities. Even our preaching is done for Krishna's pleasure ultimately. You know, when we go out and preach, what do? We bring people back to the temple. Then when we bring them back to the temple, what do? We bring them in front of Krishna. And they go, whoa! So we've got to be a little bit careful about how we introduce them to... Huh? We have to be sensitive about that. Not everybody can appreciate these things. So gradually. But ultimately, what do? We bring everybody back to Radha Balabha. And our daily routine work, cleaning and all of these things, you know, especially cleaning and preaching and distributing prasadam, all these things, part of preaching actually, revolves around... Now here, worshipping the deity at home, serving the devotee, right? Serving the devotee, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in a home, and Prabhupada's mentioning here actually the Panchanga Bhakti process, the five main items of devotional service, residing in a holy place and chanting the holy name of the Lord are all inexpensive items by which one can please the Lord. And of course that's what Krishna is doing. Narada Muni has come, and he, you know, Krishna's like the father. Let's explain. Krishna's like the father, and the father always likes to see his son in a bigger position than him, right? You would like your son to get a better position than you, right? You wouldn't mind. You wouldn't think, oh, what's he doing? Overstepping my position. No, the father would be happy. Oh, the son's a bigger man than me. Oh, that's good. Makes me look good. Of course, this is bewildering for Narada Muni. So what's Krishna worshipping me for? But Krishna's happy to worship Narada Muni, to show the exalted position of the devotees, and to show how to treat the devotees. So it's interesting. Krishna is serving the devotee, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are activities he would hear from the sages, hear the recitation of the Vedas. So these are things that we do as well. So for us, the Sat Dharma is very important. We have to apply the other principles of Dharma ultimately to bring us to the point of Sat Dharma, worshipping Krishna. That's what the Varnashram Dharma system is meant for. Varnashrama Charavata. What's the next line of that verse? Varnashrama Charavata. Can't remember, but anyway, the point of that verse is that ultimately the Varnashram system in and of itself has sort of no meaning unless it's meant for bringing us to the point of connecting us to Krishna. That's the purpose. So Narada Muni saw Krishna engaging in all of these activities wherever he went. But of course Krishna was demonstrating this for the benefit of everybody. Yad yada charati shrestha, setting the example so that we would follow a spiritual life. And at the same time, giving allowance for us to pursue our inclinations, if you like, our material inclinations in an ordered and structured environment so that we don't do too much damage to ourselves, basically. The rules and regulations of the Varnashram system are a bit like, you know, another example is like the rails of a railway track. They keep the train on course. Take away one of the rails and the train falls over. So the rules and regulations are like that. Keep us on track. And exemplify. You know, Krishna is the independent personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to follow any rules and regulations. He says, I follow the rules and regulations, because if I didn't follow the rules and regulations, then who knows what people would do. So therefore, to set an example for others, Krishna, who doesn't need to follow any, he follows the rules. Does anyone have any comments or questions? Any of these points? Yes. No.
You mentioned earlier about how Krishna tells Yudhisthira to tell a lie.
Yeah.
Kurukshetra.
Yes.
And to tell, was it Bhishma?
Ashwatthama.
Yeah, the Ashwatthama is dead, and he says that he doesn't want to lie, so he's
well, he says, an elephant. Yeah, he says, well, what you can do is say, Ashwatthama is dead, be he man or elephant, I do not know. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, at the end, in the Mahabharata, where...
Although perhaps he did know. He maybe told two lies.
Yeah, well... it describes at the end how when the Pandavas, when they fall down at the end...
Yeah.
And they fall down one by one, and Yudhisthira goes to Yamaraj.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, does he do that because he told a lie, or because he didn't follow Krishna's order or something? Is that
Why did he go to see Yamaraj?
Well, because it was his father.
He went to complain. I don't know the story, so I don't know.
I can't remember.
But you can be sure that the Pandavas didn't go to hell. Or if they did, they only went temporarily because they're... Yeah. And as Vanaswami was explaining, you know, some of these pastimes in the Mahabharata and so forth, they're actually designed to confuse people. Then they think, oh no, if such saintly persons go to hell, what's the point? Right? But from my understanding, I haven't made a close inspection of it. That was a very temporary pastime for the saintly Pandavas, because obviously, you know, they're pure devotees.
Duryodhana was in the heavenly planets and they came and saw them going down to see Yamaraj, and Yudhisthira said he was just seeing his father and something.
Yeah, they're going to purify that place. Yeah. Maybe Yamaraj wanted the association of his sons, of his son. I don't know. I haven't studied it, so I can't say.
This point I also have heard.
Anyway, look, I can't answer your question, so it's better to stick to something that I can answer.
Yudhishthira, because he didn't follow Krishna's order to die, that's why he has had to, I don't know for how long.
I don't know either. I suggest you go and read the book. Do you know the answer to that question? Jagannath Ram? No.
I think it says in there that there's two reasons. He goes just for a very short time.
Yeah.
Because he didn't follow Krishna's order directly.
Yes.
He sort of didn't want to lie, so to say. Yeah. Wasn't the chariot above ground? Like his chariot used to ride a bit above the ground.
Plunk down. Room.
Yeah.
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 All right, I think we should finish here.